Thank you for being here, Grace Fellowship, this morning. We have an exciting time this morning because we are going to actually be ordaining some men who are going to be joining the elders, the leadership team. The church is God's representation on earth, really, of Jesus. If you think about it, we are supposed to be that place where the character and priorities of Christ are displayed, magnified, whether that's reaching out to people who don't know him, or that means caring for people who do, or that's equipping people who have known Christ and now need to learn how to minister. And so today, before we ordain Pat Durham and Eric Farr, you're going to hear their testimonies, how they came to know Christ, because it's important you hear that, because some of you may not know them very well. We want to explain really what elders are. And really what it means to be an elder. And how do we organize specifically here? And it matters to you because this is how we express care and concern for you. This is the way we organize ourselves so that when you face a situation in your life, whether that's a personal struggle you're moving through, or maybe if it's a family tragedy that a bunch of you are facing, that you'll know that we're here trying to represent God's truth to you in a way that cares for you. Also, there are times where some of us may go astray. Some of us may say, I love God for any season of our life. I love God less than I love this particular sin in my life. And if that's the case, the role of pastors in the church, the role of leadership in the church is to confront that. After it moves through people dealing with it in our church, it comes to the leadership team. And it's our responsibility before God to guard the health of the church. And that means the health of you. Because after all, every time I say the word church, guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about you. Talking about me. Church isn't this thing that's out there. The church is this that's happening right here. This dynamic is happening all around the world, and hopefully it's spreading God's fame. But when we stop spreading his fame, whether personally or in a group or corporately, the leadership is charged with maintaining the health of that group. Turn over to Exodus chapter 18. I want to give you a brief sketch of where this idea of leadership came from. In the Old Testament, essentially, the idea of an elder was really this. He was an aged man who functioned as an example and a decision maker for Israel. We see this starting to happen in Exodus chapter 18. Let me give you some background. Moses at this time had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's got a one-man show going on. He's got this thing where all these people, over 2 million, are dealing with issues and arguments, and he has them every day. When the sun comes up, he sits down on this chair, and people start bringing it. He hears all the litigation. He moves through it, and then late at night, he gets to bed. And his father-in-law shows up, and he says, "You're out of your mind, Moses. You're out of your mind. You can't function like this. You need people to help you." And so what he does is this. If you look at Exodus chapter 18, looking over verse 21, this is the advice of his father-in-law. He says, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. They will make your load lighter because you will share it with you. They will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." He says, listen, you get these people that, first of all, integrity, character matters. They can't be bought off. When two chariots run into each other and they bring the case to you, they're not going to say, okay, here, I'll give you 20 shekels, make this go away, and they're going to let it go away. No, they're going to deal with it fairly, honestly. They love God more than they want their reputation to further. These are aged men, these people that make decisions, and they care. So we see the whiff of the idea of elders starting in there. And we see this go further and further as we go through the Old Testament. We see a group of people eventually established that these people are the pace setters for the spiritual communion with God. And when something goes sideways, the elders are supposed to step in, and they're supposed to represent this in a way that is honest and a way that is trustworthy. So we see that in the Old Testament. Flip over now, over to Titus chapter 1. We see this standard not only happening in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, after God's Spirit comes at Pentecost, we see this happening again. Because the church is starting to spread, people are starting to believe, the idea is simply taken over that men who are spiritual are supposed to oversee the individual home churches that are meeting. In the New Testament, elder was a spiritually mature man who led the church in being spiritually healthy. And Paul says in Titus chapter 1 to Titus, this is the reason he is supposed to function. He says, verse 5 in Titus chapter 1, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And these are the qualifications of an elder. And an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild or disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. So we see that elders are given the charge to have certain characteristics. They're supposed to be blameless, meaning that there's nothing that can stick to them. When these people walk through this life, they're supposed to, people will speak badly about pastors, speak badly about elders, but there should be nothing there that sticks, that isn't being dealt with. Do you know what's interesting about all these characteristics? All these characteristics are really binding on everybody here. But the difference is this. When we say a New Testament elder is supposed to be spiritually mature, meaning that all these characteristics are supposed to be involved in process in every Christian, but elders are supposed to have them to such a degree that they're matured, they're full, they're growing and they're full grown and they're being displayed on a regular basis. And when they fall short of those things, they regularly repent. They seek accountability. They seek to humble themselves and work these things out of your life. No one's perfect. We're not saying that. But we are saying this. The health of the church is reliant on the leadership of the church. A church cannot be any more healthy than its leadership is. And so you have put forth these men. Now, how do we organize ourselves? Because let's say this. Let's say we get to the point that at Grace Fellowship, let's say we have a variety of issues that we're facing, but we grow, let's say, even in this group, let's say we grow to 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 people. And again, we're not number hoarders. We're looking for health, but anything healthy, you notice, grows. Just does. Just absolutely does. How do we organize ourselves? Because we know that God has told us this through the examples in the Old Testament, through specifically Paul saying appoint elders. We see this letters written to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, specifically to show us characteristics and postures of elders. So how do we organize ourselves in order to do that? Well, at Grace Fellowship, what we do is this. We have two groups of people that make up a council of elders. And this is really what it looks like is this. These people that are shepherds, an elder or a bishop or an overseer, because each one of these groups, each one of these representatives, each one of these terms represent an elder or a pastor at the church. You know, when you read the Bible, you see the word elder and you hear some people called elders in the church and then some called pastors. Do you know they're the exact same? They're used in the same way. An overseer is the same thing. Each one of these terms are used in exchange. So technically, you could call Ken a bishop. And you'd be right. It had nothing to do with chess, but he would be a bishop. Kevin is an overseer. I could be called a pastor. And you know, you could use those terms interchangeably. Some churches separate them, making a hierarchy that elders are over pastors. Do you know that's not true in the Bible? And so they're used interchangeably. So the term itself is not something we hold to, something we grasp onto, that somehow it's special. And those are used interchangeably. As a matter of fact, you can read about this. We have a position paper if you'd like. Just email the church at info@forgodsfame.org, and we'll give you the whole exegetical breakdown of this from the New Testament. So since the terms are used differently, and down where we are, people use them in a variety of ways, we've come to just simply call the pastors the leadership team. But there comes a point where we have a four-year term for these groups. Matter of fact, we break them down this way. We break down the leadership team is up to seven men. Because in order to function at a church, we can't have, let's say if we have 30 or 40 or 50 elders. Well, how do you make decisions with them? It's pretty tough. So we have simply a leadership team. That leadership team is a term that we represent for bishops, pastors, elders. And that's up to 7 men on that. They serve on 4-year cycles. And if there's a specific reason, an elder can serve for 1 more year. They can serve 1 more year on that for a specific reason. But after that 5th year, they have to rotate off. Then we have the purpose of the leadership team is the immediate care and management of the church. That's what we do. So we meet every other week, and I will get to the point that I'll be just like every other leadership team member. I will rotate off because the leadership team is not supposed to be making decisions like a corporate body. It's supposed to be caring for the church and managing the church. And you know what? Volunteers can do that. You know, we've gotten to the point in the church, we think if you're paid, that's the person who does what he's supposed to do. The paid person is the one who ministers. We just don't believe that. We understand that if you're paid vocationally, as I've been blessed to be, you have more time. You can set aside time and do things more specifically. We understand that. We acknowledge that. But we also recognize that if it's just me alone or just Kevin alone, we don't have the eyes. We don't have enough hands to be able to care for people. So we have a leadership team that does that. Also, extended off that, let's say somebody rotates off the leadership team. Well, they will go on what's called an elder ministry team or an EMT. What those people do, their indefinite amount of men could expand to whatever, and they regularly care and minister in the church. I would never rotate off the EMT unless I was removed for an issue of sin or if I moved. I just wouldn't be off that. So it'd always be on the EMT. It'd always be that. And those two groups come together, and they make up holistically the Council of Elders. And those two groups would get together once a quarter to pray and see if there's something that they can express or any way they can add to the health of the church, etc. So what we're trying to do at Grace Fellowship is we balance the fact that God, this is his model. We don't call me senior pastor. Now, why is that? Why don't we call me senior pastor? I mean, a lot of good churches do it, right? There are. There's a lot of good churches. We don't do that because of this. And I lead the charge. There's no one over there going, he better say this right. So if any of you are kind of think I'm being held hostage by that, I believe that because this, when you call someone senior and then you say pastor, there's a hierarchy there. There just is. We understand administratively there's different roles that we have. There's different functions that we have that we individually can make calls for. We don't need to have everybody else sign off on stuff. But senior pastor, particularly in the South, almost sounds like that's the guy with all the answers. That's the guy who calls the shots. And honestly, clearly want you to hear this, we simply don't believe that. Now, other churches can do that. Please don't walk out here going, those people hate God if they have senior pastors. We're not saying that at all. We're saying simply that we're trying to go for what is biblical, the most biblical pattern. And we don't believe having someone called a senior pastor helps that. We think it could detract from that. And that's where we've come to land on. So when it comes to a leadership team member, pastor, I'm on that. I'll rotate off just like all the other guys in that cycle that we mentioned. But all of us together are the Council of Elders. And we're here to serve you and care for you, teach you, and maintain the health of God's church for spreading his fame. Because we believe God's fame is spread when people are developed in the character and priorities of Christ. And so our role and responsibility is to make sure that philosophy saturates this church in what we do. It's the responsibility of elders to make sure the doctrine of the church is enforced and upheld, meaning that if we have some people come in and they believe having a relationship with God is mixed with doing something to make God smile, we would oppose that and we'd seek to protect you. And also the elders are responsible for making sure fiscally the finances and your giving is done in a way that upholds God's fame being spread. So that's what we do. That's who we are. That's how we function as a group. And we hope that you understand this so you can feel cared for and feel loved because it's very important. Now, we're adding 2 people to the LT this morning, and we're going to have them come up here and share their testimony because it's very important that you understand when you're being led, the foundation of the leadership is our relationship with Christ, is it not? You cannot be an elder unless you have a clear testimony, and in order for you to hear that, we thought it wise to give it to everybody. So at this time, I'm going to have Pat come on up. Pat Durham, let's give him a hand.